Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Our text is going to come from the book of Mark, but I want to begin in Matthew chapter 7. We are surrounded, absolutely surrounded, all day, every day, by religion. We live in a particular part of the country called the Bible Belt. Everyone is religious. Everyone is religious. And unfortunately, that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. The reason is because most of religion is nothing but lies. Almost every time the word religion is used in the Scripture, it's used to describe the lies that were told by the Pharisees of that day, the Jews' religion. There is only one truth in a matter. There's only one truth to be told. But religion, in the name of the truth, is so different. Religions are so different. One has this religion, another has that religion. But there's only one truth. So most of religion is nothing but lies. You drive down the road and you see church building after church building after church building. The majority of those church buildings are houses of lies. I know that sounds harsh, but it's just true. Politicians may lie to us. They just might do it. The media may lie to us. But nowhere are men and women being lied to like they are in religion. Now, right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, and this is our Lord speaking, He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Now, when God Almighty says, "Many will be destroyed," do you think He means not very many? He said many, didn't He? Many. Verse 14, He said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, when God Almighty says, "Few will find life," do you think He means everybody will be saved? You think that's what He means? He said few, didn't He? Oh, in verse 15, He said, "Beware of false prophets." "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." What He's saying is, at first glance, they seem okay. But they're not. They're spreading lies. Lies that are damning people. But it all sounds so close, doesn't it? Everybody seems to talk about Jesus, and they say the word grace, and they sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But as close as it sounds, something's not right. When it's not God's word alone, something's not right. Something is missing. Something has been added. Something has been mixed in. God's pure truth has been diluted. Over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." God has an elect. God has chosen a particular people to be His own. And He calls those people out of darkness. He delivers them from the lies of religion, and He turns them to the truth. He turns them to the truth of His Word. Now go with me to our text. It's in Mark chapter 7. And in these verses, our Lord perfectly describes religion today. I mean perfectly. Today's religion. He exposes the lies. He points out the error. And He teaches us in this the difference between an empty show of religion. That's all religion is an empty show. And He teaches us the difference between that empty show and a true heart worship to the Lord our God. So Mark chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Then came together unto Him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem." Now the Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. They were the famous preachers, the ones everybody was listening to and looking to. And we have some of those today. Verse 1 says, "Then came together unto Him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault." They saw the Lord's disciples as being unclean. They hadn't washed their hands according to the law. They had a law on this. And the disciples weren't doing it. And they saw them as being unclean sinners. And I see why they would see the disciples as being that. The reason is because they were. In and of themselves. Verse 2 says, "When they saw some of His disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft." Now that word oft, often, sometimes we look these words up what their original meaning was. And that word means diligently, with the fist up to the elbow, scrubbing their hands and their arms up to the elbow. And I can just see these Pharisees doing this according to their law. Before they eat, they spend their time like a surgeon before he's going to conduct surgery. They're scrubbing themselves. And then they hold their hands up saying, "I'm clean. I want everybody to know. I want everybody to see this. I have made myself to be clean." That's what the Pharisees were doing. "I've cleansed myself." Verse 3 says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders." Now, do you notice that that does not say holding the tradition of the Word of God? You see that? What they were doing right there is not in the Word of God. It is not in the Word of God. Let me tell both of us what religion truly is. Religion is something that an old man made up. Just made it up. Came up with it. Decided he liked it. Made it up. And then passed it down. And after enough time goes on, people pass it down and pass it down. And eventually, they start to believe it's the Word of God. When it's not. It's just not. Here's an example of religion. Somebody might say, now you know God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves now. That is not in the Bible. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere. That is a lie. Somebody just made it up. Now listen. God wants to save you if you'll let Him. That is not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere does it say that. The Scripture says the exact opposite. The Lord said, I will work, and who shall let it? God wants to save you if you'll let Him, which is what most religion teaches. The ball's in your court. But the truth is, it's just a lie. Somebody made it up. They passed it down. People have been saying that for generations and generations. Here's another one. God wants everybody to be saved. That is not in the Bible. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere. That's just a lie of religion. Somebody just made it up. Right here in Mark chapter 7, verse 3 says, For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. They've made up many things. Many things. They've added much to God's Word. Verse 5 says, Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Why don't your disciples go with the flow like everybody else? Why don't they fall in with the masses and just give in to the tradition of the elders? Verse 6, He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. A hypocrite is an actor. That's what the word means. Somebody who is pretending. Pretending to be one thing when that's not what he is. It's important for us to know that in the Scripture, the word hypocrite is never attached to a person who is acknowledging himself to be a sinner. Never. Never. Not one time is a drunk called a hypocrite. Never. Not one time is a harlot called a hypocrite. Never. Not one time is a publican called a hypocrite. Not one time. That word is always attached to the preachers. Always. The Pharisees. It's always attached to those who are consumed with self-righteousness. righteous religion. Those who try to make themselves to be something when they're nothing. Our Lord said, here's the truth about religion. They honor me with their lips. They do. But their heart is far from me. There's no true worship in the heart. There's no real love for Christ in the heart. Solomon wrote, out of the heart are the issues of life. Verse 7, he said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's it. That's it. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men. The word doctrines means words. It means teaching. Words. They're saying, my word is this way when it's not. I didn't say that at all. It's the commandments of men. It's not the commandments of God. Verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things do ye. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. I don't think it will ever cease to amaze me how men and women can see what God's Word says, and after they see it with their own two eyes, say, I don't care what it says. I'm sticking with what I've always believed. I'll tell you, if what I've always believed is contrary to the Word of God, it's time for me to change what I believe. It's time for me to let it go. Verse 10, the Lord said, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Our Lord just illustrated to them what he's talking about. The Lord gave a law to Moses that said, honor thy father and thy mother. And part of the word honor meant, take care of them. Take care of them as they've taken care of you. Physically take care of them. Financially take care of them. And when people couldn't give their money to the church because they were by law obligated to take care of their parents, the greedy preachers, the greedy Pharisees, greedy religion started telling people, if you say that you cannot use your money on your parents because you've already given it to the church, it'll be a win-win for everybody. We'll get the money. God will take care of your parents. You'll be relieved of your obligation to them. And God Himself right here is saying, you're all liars. You're liars. You've lied on me. You've lied on my word. I did not say that. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. The web of religion is luring men and women to their own eternal grave. It's killing men and women. May God set us free from its lies. May God set more sinners free from the lies of religion. Now, if God does set sinners free, how will they know it? How can I know if God has chosen to open my eyes to the truth? How can I know? How can I know if my worship is sincere and not in vain? Our Lord said at the end of verse 6, it has everything to do with this heart right here. This heart. Religion can go to work on a man's pride. It can go to work on his appearance. It can go to work on his morality, but it'll never touch a man's heart. Never. Only God can do that. Religion can touch a man's emotions, make him wave his hands, make him jump up and down, but it'll never touch a man's heart. Only God can do that. And if God touches a man's heart, the first thing he will do is break it. That's the first thing he will do. He will break it to his own sin. Break it to the fear of a holy God. Let me show you what a heart looks like that God has touched. This right here is what a heart looks like that God has touched. Over in Psalm 51, this precious Psalm 51, this is something that religion could never produce. Never. This right here is of God. David said in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You're justified. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That right there is not religion. That's grace. That's the grace of God shed abroad on a heart. When the Lord first called Peter, the Apostle Peter, he showed him a great miracle. And when Peter saw who Christ was, he fell down to his knees crying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's not religion. That's grace. If God Almighty has broken my heart over my sin, then I'm not in religion. I'm in grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Philippians chapter 3, this right here is what a heart looks like that God touches. Philippians 3 verse 4 says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." That right there is not religion. That's grace. When God touches a heart and breaks a heart to sin, God convinces that heart that all its works for salvation are worthless. Paul said, "I count them all dung, loss. Not only did I not gain anything, I ended up losing because of them." Paul said, "I could never earn my own righteousness by obeying the law. Never. My only hope is that I died in Him. If God has taught me that, and if God has taught you that, we're not in religion. We're in grace. We're in grace. God is dealing with us in grace. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 9. This is a heart that God touches. Romans 9 verse 11 says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he pardoneth." Once a sinner realizes, God can do with me whatever he wants to do with me. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't do it. So God put Jonah in a whale's belly for 3 days. And when that whale vomited Jonah up, and Jonah finally realized, God can do with me whatever he wants to do with me, you know what he cried? Salvation is of the Lord. That right there is not religion. You will never hear that in the lies of religion. Never. And if God has caused my heart to see that and believe it, and if God has caused your heart to see that and believe it, that salvation is 110% totally, completely of the Lord. If He's shown us that, we're not in religion. We are in grace. We're in the grace of God through the gift of His Son. Now over in Jude, here's one more heart that God touches. In Jude verse 24 it says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." That is not religion. Religion could never produce a heart that loves His glory alone. Religion wants to share the glory with Him. But if God has given both of us a heart that cries, "All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen." If God has given us that, we're not in religion. We're in grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, may God do a work on our hearts. May He cause us to call on Him and beg for mercy. May He call us away from the lies of religion. And may He cause us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.